back on track again.
And exactly from everything that you've said. So when we talk about, for example, the free agent Russell Westbrook, do you think that's going to be the same factor as well as everything you said? Or what type of, in your eyes, what do they have to do just to get that type of, you know, that type of attraction from a Russell Westbrook? Or just give me a trade or something that will get these guys to start coming.
Well, in Westbrook's case, I got to say, if you're going to land him, you're going to have to try to make a trade. It's a risky deal because he is coming into the last year of his contract, so you would almost have a Dwight Howard-esque type of situation.
Yep.
except, but here's the thing, though. If you try to make a move with Westbrook, let's say midseason, let's say worst comes to worst for Oklahoma City, they're out of the playoffs by February. So you basically, you're renting a guy and you're renting a guy for 2 months to come to a team like the Lakers who also may not make the playoffs. So Westbrook does not see, like, okay, they sold the farm to get me. Who am I left to play with? Well, dang. Ingram is going to take him some time to develop. Mozgov, you know, so he's going to leave. So the Lakers really have to map out this situation with Westbrook extremely carefully because on the one hand, you don't want to take a chance with free agency, but on the other hand, you also don't want to sell the farm to get a guy who's potentially a half-year rental. So I would love to see Russell Westbrook come to L.A., and I would. And if Sam Presti wanted D'Angelo Russell and Julius Randle and somebody and a bunch of future first-round picks, please take them. But here's the thing. I want to talk to Russell Westbrook. I want to say, Russell, we trade for you to L.A. I want to see your name on the dotted line immediately. Remember with James Harden?
Right.
Houston traded for him, and he immediately signed an extension. There's got to be a stipulation with that. Because you don't want to trade off your future cornerstone to get Westbrook if he's not going to be guaranteed past the 2017 season.
Interesting. Yeah, I agree with all that. And, you know, it's just interesting the fact that, to piggyback your earlier point about how the Lakers don't really build their team through free agency, and it's kind of become the culture in the NBA. I'm going to ask like a two-part question here. Do you think it's kind of the fact that the Lakers are finding it hard to adjust to the new era in the league? Because I don't think any team necessarily, unless you're like in a major market, wants to build through free agency like this. But because the new collective bargaining agreement gives these players this type of power, it's kind of hard not to build your team through free agency, or there's really no other choice, because we see that draft picks now are not really as coveted as they used to be. For example, Boston's got a lot of them. A lot of young players came from them. But they're not necessarily the greatest attractive place, although they are a historic franchise. And then my second point is, let's talk about Luke Walton's feelings here. You know that, you know, he just came from a great situation being assistant coach with the Golden State Warriors, who were literally a few minutes away from winning back-to-back titles. That didn't happen. And then KD comes, and, you know, he winds up being gone. Do the Lakers think that Brandon Ingram can be the guy eventually? Is that what they're hoping for? And what type of, you know, offense is Luke Walton going to run with this team? We mentioned, you know, the Timofey Mozgov signing. I mean, this is not really your run-and-gun, up-tempo type of offensive player that Luke Walton likes to run, that up-tempo like he did with the Warriors. So what do you think Luke's struggles and is going to be in terms of how he coaches his teams and how he wants his team to play, you know, in the next season?
Well, let me answer very detailed questions, by the way, both of them.
Yeah.
Very good, by the way.
Thank you.
Both of you guys have done your homework. I'm like, wow, I feel like I'm dealing with, like, you know, some like big time analytical guys.
Right.
a lot more than my little pea brain can handle right now.
Well, thank you.
No, thank you, man. You guys are bringing it right now, man.
That's what we do, man. Go ahead.
No, seriously, I'm like really impressed. But you know, those, your questions are always solid. But yeah, let me answer that first question first. Yes, the new collective bargaining agreement was originally made to keep a team like the Lakers or Miami or Chicago or New York, not really, but you know what I mean, any big-time market team from plucking the best players from these small markets so they even the playing field. That's why every team now could offer their own impending free agents the highest contract. That's why Hassan Whiteside and staying in Miami.
Right.
Because he claimed, hey, I'm a businessman. Okay, the best business deal is to stay in Miami because they were going to offer you close to $100 million. That's why he's there. So, yeah, the Lakers, and there's not a whole lot they could control about that. I think the problem with the Lakers is, and I hope I'm wrong about this, is that I think that they're expecting guys to come here out of tradition. If you've ever seen the movie Blue Chip.
Right.
Nick Nolte, Shaquille O'Neal, Penny Hardaway.
Yep.
Nick Nolte mentioned there was a scene in there after he finishes off like a 500 season. It was like a losing season or something. He said, he's like, you know what? We haven't been going out there. We haven't been doing our homework. We haven't been out there putting in the groundwork for these to get some of these great high school recruits. Why? Because we've expected them to come here out of tradition. And I think with the Lakers, they've had a similar problem with that mentality. That's why they're not putting in the groundwork with a lot of these free agents. Let me tell you something. You think Kevin Durant just woke up one day and decided, hey, I want to go to the Golden State Warriors because they're best team? Not really. It was reported that both Steph Curry, Draymond Green, Iguodala, they were putting in groundwork. This
yep.
is something that the Warriors wanted to do 6 months ago.
Yep.
Before the season started.
Planning ahead.
They knew Durant's contract situation. They were saying, Kevin is going to want to go to a winning situation. So it's going to come, they probably knew it's going to come down to us and Oklahoma City. So if we could convince him to come here, we will have a dynasty for years. The collective group of that team, I mean, they're all young guys. Everyone's in their mid-20s. Durant's probably the old guy out of that group, out of that core. So they said, let's put in the work now, and if all else fails, hey, we won 73 games with Harrison Barnes, it's not a bad backup plan. But let's put all our chips in, because we got nothing to lose to try to keep Kevin Durant. The Lakers, unfortunately, have not adopted that same type of mentality. They've just been kind of, they've been one step behind everybody, and it's well known. And whether that's a Jim Buss issue or a Mitch issue, I'm not too sure.
Mm-hmm.
But they've been behind the eight ball, and that's got to change, because you've got to start being as aggressive as these other teams are. Go after these players. Put in the groundwork. Talk to their agents. Try to get them excited about coming to L.A.
Mm-hmm.
And another thing, start adding some pieces. Start adding some other pieces, you know, and don't feel like you have to overpay for some of them. So, I mean, it's a double-edged thing. So, yes, part of it is the Lakers' fault, but also, too, it's just the situation that they're in. They're in rebuilding mode. They have a lot of young guys, and a lot of these stars who are in their prime just aren't ready to they don't feel like the Lakers are ready to make that next jump, where their presence would make a difference between being a championship contender or being just a decent playoff team. So I think that aspect of it is very important, and that's one that needs to be talked about. Now, as far as Luke Walton goes, he knew what he was getting himself into. Otherwise, he wouldn't have taken the job. And here's the thing. Nobody wants to be an assistant coach forever, even on a great team.
Nope.
You know, Mike Budenholzer won a championship he was in the finals with the Spurs in 2013. The very next year, the Spurs won. He was with the Atlanta Hawks. He got kicked out of the second round.
A lot better situation than the Lakers are right now, though.
Yeah,
but
yeah,
go ahead.
But my point being is, if there's a better opportunity out there,
right.
This goes back to the Durant situation, if there's a better opportunity, you've got to take it. So Walton knows, okay, it's not a better opportunity because the Warriors are clearly better than the Lakers, but it's a better opportunity because I can make more money, and I'm a head coach. I'm the guy calling the shots. I don't have to answer to Steve Kerr, you know? So I think that aspect for Walton was, that mentality was a big reason why he wanted to come to L.A. Now, clearly, he believed that he could turn Mozgov, not really turn him, but he feels he could utilize Mozgov the way Steve Kerr utilized Andrew Bogut, an efficient two-way center who could rebound, who could block shots, he could post up, he could make decisions out of the post, and he gives us a solid rim-protecting big man. Luol Deng gives us a versatile two-way forward who could play the three and four, who can knock down the mid-range shot, could knock down the three, who could maybe be a captain for this defense because the Lakers' defense has been atrocious these last years. And maybe he could even get these guys, hold these guys accountable on the court, almost be like a defensive captain while mentoring Brandon Ingram. So I think both guys will have their roles in Luke Walton's system. I don't know if Walton's going to be like a straight run-and-gun type of coach the way a guy like D'Antoni was. I think what he's going to want to do is play with pace, but also play with organization. Move the ball from side to side. Find the open man. Set screens away from the ball. Cut. And on defense, everyone's got to be accountable for each other. Let's hold each other accountable on screen and roll defense. Let's communicate. Let's trust one another. That's what Walton's going to try to do, develop trust, an up-tempo, team-oriented system. That is what he wants.
Hmm.